This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Obviously, it looks like one of the goals of this meeting was to depict Donald Trump not as a racist, as his opponents and sometimes his own words have depicted him as, but as somebody who wants to work with Mexico, who can be presidential. What do you think?
I think he's trying to do two things at once, and he failed. He can't do two things at once, which is his brand is strength. It's in the eyes of many. It's bombast, even. We saw very little of that. And in fact, he said he didn't even raise the issue of who pays for the wall, a line so central to the Trump message that when he speaks at rallies, the audience chants it along with him. It's like Born to Run at Springsteen, okay? Everybody is singing along. And he wimped out. And if the Trump brand used to, until 1 hour ago, the Trump brand stood for anything, I think it would have been strength. And I think in the eyes of many of his supporters, you can say he wimped out. Will that allow him to appeal more to the middle? Very skeptical, because we're 69 days from the election. I think the voters say, okay, you're behind. This is a Hail Mary. I guess it's an Ave Maria, since he's south of the border. And I think that the folks he's trying to reach are deeply skeptical about his capacity to really change. And then his voters, his people already has, I think are going to be really angry that he went down there. He met with the Mexican president, and he didn't say the most important thing to them.
Which is that they need to pay for the wall.
This is Paul Begala, of course, with Jake Tapper on CNN. And Paul, of course, is a strategist. He advised Bill Clinton. So we know where he comes from and his worldview. I don't think Donald Trump, even if Donald Trump would have insisted and came back and said, okay, we're going to really force the issue. Mexico is going to pay for the wall. That would have kind of stopped the conversation, I would think. And there's all kinds of ways to negotiate how this wall is going to be paid for. So what are they going to do? You know, they're going to try to, you know, demean what Donald Trump was able to effect there, because they know that Donald Trump really made Hillary Clinton look bad. And this is a shining moment for the Trump campaign, what they were able to do. And so out of it, the only thing they can come up with is, oh, he didn't talk about it. He didn't bring that up. I think there's certain things that are obvious. You know, when Donald Trump comes and meets with the president of Mexico, what is the first thing the president of Mexico says?
Hello?
Right. Well, besides hola.
He extended the offer to both candidates, and he was probably surprised by which one accepted it.
According to the tweet that President Nieto put out, he said that the first thing he told Donald Trump is, we ain't paying for the wall. But in business parlance, when you meet with an adversary, that's what we call a buying-selling proposition. That is an opening to talk about this. For so long, this has been an ignored issue. Why should Mexico pay for something they've never had to pay for before, right?
Yeah, correct.
And in the interest of fairness, which is what they're asking for, is there ways that America can look at it from their side and say, okay, yeah, we need to do this a little bit more fair. I mean, in terms of some of the drug money and the guns going in from, you know, north to south, and how we have been deleterious as a culture, which most people in America probably didn't think about, and they forgot how our own president did some gun running along with Eric Holder, and we sent 2,000 guns to the drug cartel. And you're going to think that we didn't do any damage to the Mexicans, and how many lives were killed as a result of that, that irresponsible act by our government, and then they did everything they could to hide it. But we're going to sit there and ignore that and give Trump a bad time because He didn't ask, you know, he didn't get a check from the president. That was not the time and place and meeting for Donald Trump to close the deal. That's not what this was all about.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop.
Hey, welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Thank you for joining us and getting involved in the conversation. We do everything we can to bring the experts on the show to talk about and discuss, you know, the facts and take advantage of their hard-earned research and their perspective as well. Our next guest I've been looking forward to. When I first saw the title of her book, I thought, whoa, interesting. We've got to have this opportunity to talk with Dr. Linda Seeger. The title of the book that grabbed my attention was Jesus Rode a Donkey, Why Millions of Christians Are Democrats. And this is the latest book from Linda. And Dr. Linda Seeger, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Yes, I am fine. Thank you so much, Bill.
Well, thank you for coming on. Needless to say that the title of your book definitely got my attention. So tell us about if Jesus rode a donkey.
Well, the book was written partly because there is this inaccurate idea that all Christians are Republicans and all Christians are evangelicals, and that none of them vote Democrat. So when I did the research, I found that that actually is not true. That actually, and I think especially in this election, there's going to be a good 50-60% of Christians moving toward the Democratic side, and even under evangelicals, that a quarter of evangelicals vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
So we, and you know, you start putting in the mainline Protestants, you put in the Catholics, on many of those, many mainline are going to be 60-70% Democrat. Catholics tend to move toward Democrat, with Hispanics being about 75% Democrat and black evangelicals about 90% Democrat. So there's been a kind of a skewed idea of who these voters are and how they vote.
And I would agree with you, Linda, that it is rather confusing, because when you consider the party platforms, just of both parties on the surface, you would question, at least I would, as an evangelical, I'd question and say, well, how can evangelicals side with Democrats just based on the harshness of their party platform?
Well, their party platform is actually not so harsh. It's a lot less harsh than the Republican. One of the things to look at, just from the Christian perspective, is to ask yourself, what are the social issues that become political issues that Jesus talked about and that the Bible as a whole talk about? There's two issues in the forefront by which a nation will be judged by how they deal with justice and mercy for their people. And there is a tendency with Christians to think that Christianity is just about the individual. But there's these 400 verses in the Bible that said, no, it's about how do you care for the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans, the strangers, the foreigners, and actually there's some verses about, and the wage earner. And so the Democratic platform focuses very much on these issues. For instance, justice issues, equal pay for equal work, a better minimum wage so people can make a living, concern for the families, you know, for instance, and the working families and the middle class, very, very strong on the middle class. Trump would actually reduce the taxes on the wealthy. He wants to get them down to 15%, and a lot of them are over, well over 35%, which the Democrats say, no, the wealthy should be paying their fair share on helping our country and our nation.
Well, and I guess that's that has been the argument. When we talk about fair share, what's the fair share? And when you consider that less and less people are involved in, you know, the equal sharing of the weight, you know, when you have empirical evidence where, and I understand, I mean, that sometimes it can be problematic when you look at people who are being successful and the amount of taxes that they already pay. Now, there are some things, some provisions that I think that Democratic policies have given exoneration to some big businesses, and then they come back and say, well, they should be paying their fair share. Well, if you've given them a get-out-of-jail card and you've given them, you know, for the interest of being reelected, you've given them exemptions like for Obamacare and that sort of thing and on, and then you come back and say, well, that's not fair. Well, you're the one that did that. I mean,
remember the recession started before Obama got in. It started under Bush. Difficulties with Wall Street were that, and that was all left over by the time the Democrats get in. But there's been
are you saying that that was all created by George Bush and that the Clinton administration had nothing to do with it?
No, well, the recession came in under George Bush. It came in.
I understand that.
Yes. And so Obama.
Yeah, but nothing ever happens in terms of a short period. I'm just so, Linda, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to cut you off. I mean, you know, I really want your opinion here.
Yes,
and
okay.
But I want to keep it in context here. And that is that, you know, we know politically, and I think what I'm hoping that we get out of this is that we get out of, us against them kind of conversation.
Yes.
I think it needs to be about us. You know, where has the government failed us, whether it's been Republican or Democratic policies, perceptions, that sort of thing? Let's get out of that and let's focus on the majors. And that is the things that are going to help we the people, and to do what our founding fathers, had designed for us to be able to experience before. That's where I'm coming from here. And I hope you understand that.
Yes, Bill. And again, one of the things is where do we put the emphasis? For instance, one emphasis that is very strong on the Democratic side is equality and non-discrimination. And many of us, Republicans included, have been really horrified by the comments against Mexicans and Muslims and women. And I mean, Trump's comments have been so divisive and so discriminatory. So that's one of the things we're looking at in this election, is are we being divided or are we being united? Is there a fomenting? I think one of the things with this election is a fomenting of hate and demonizing other sides, whatever that other sides would be. And so we can make a lot of judgments on candidates and on issues and everything simply by our Christian principles and our value systems, and saying we are called to care about each other, to be compassionate, to love, to unite, you know, and to recognize each other as our neighbor. In fact, one of the ideas in Jesus Rode a Donkey that runs through much of it is that Jesus asked us to expand our idea of the neighbor. The neighbor is even our enemy. The neighbor is people unlike ourselves.
Well, and this goes back to the first book of Genesis, in being made in the image of God and being a respecter of life. It is very profound, and you're right, and I appreciate you elevating the discourse. Dr. Linda Seeger, we got to have you back because I want to have some more time to break this down. This is a conversation that demands more time, and I'd love to have you back. So we need to work this out. So I appreciate it. Her new book, yes. Jesus Rode a Donkey, Dr. Linda Seeger on Bill Martinez Live. Linda, thank you so much.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. Fall is approaching and college football season is kicking off. Whether you're a current student or loyal alumnus, you can enjoy the big game day on a small budget with this tip.
My husband and I went to a football school, so fall brings back great memories. As Ole Miss alums, we love tailgating on the weekends with dear friends. To cut down on costs, we create a tailgate potluck to maximize our mealtime savings.
For all of our tailgate festivities, we love to use our Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, so we earn 2% cash back at grocery stores and now at wholesale clubs. We also earn 3% cash back on gas for the first 2,500 in combined grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter, and 1% on all other purchases. Now that's a win I can brag about.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback. That's bankofamerica.com/getcashback. I'm Taylor Purdie.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Attention, everyone. Everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. Please do not turn off your radio.
This is Bill Martinez live.
The way you like me, fresh every day. 3 hours coming at you, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And if you're in Alohaville in Hawaii, very early, you know, 3 to 6 in the morning, happy to be with you, America. Gabby Morongiello is with us right now, political reporter for the Washington Examiner. Gabby, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here. You wrote about immigration speech of one Donald Trump. A big home run for him. I mean, in a matter of days, gets the invitation from the president of Mexico and goes head on, head to head with the president of Mexico, drops everything and meets with the president. I think was a very positive move for his campaign, wasn't it?
Well, the reaction today has, I don't know if people would necessarily call it a home run. I mean, what he said yesterday in his joint news conference with the president of Mexico was far different than from what he said later yesterday evening in Arizona. The tone that he struck in his immigration policy speech was far more, you know, of a hardline position on immigration than what he said immediately after his meeting with the Mexican president.
Mm-hmm. I would almost anticipated that, Gabby, because, you know, Scott and I were talking about this earlier. President Nieto, right off the bat, according to his tweet, told Donald Trump as he walked in the room, we're not paying for the wall. You know, so obviously they know that's a point of issue, but yet it wasn't, we're not paying for the wall. Get out of here. Take your churro. We don't want to talk. We're going to spend, we're going to spend an hour here reasoning together. And along the way, I think it went a long way in terms of Donald Trump understanding where Mexico is coming from and hearing, you know, some of the problems from the, you know, from the president's perspective, including, you know, drug running, guns that, oh, yeah, that President Obama had sent through Fast and Furious, lest we forget about that. He and Eric Holder sent into Mexico, which, you know, all that stuff has kind of gotten, you know, shoved under the carpet here, so to speak. So I think there was a, you know, at least for me, I looked at it in a way that's positive. I didn't expect Donald Trump to come in and say and walk away with a check to build the wall. And that's what I think that some pundits expected. I mean, that's not the way governments work. You know, that's been kind of the complaint towards Trump is that he is bombastic. He comes in. But I think at least he's opening up the discussion to say, well, why are we negotiating from a point of weakness as opposed to a point of strength? And that's the way I'm looking at it, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Donald Trump accomplished two goals yesterday. During the press conference after his meeting with the Mexican president, he not only appeared diplomatic, but, you know, he talked about how he and President Peña Nieto continue to disagree on major issues, but look forward to working together and having continued discussions about how to enhance border security and, you know, reduce the drug trafficking along the southern border and focus on a number of issues that both countries face. He talked about trade and bringing jobs back to this hemisphere. So that was, you know, a moment for him where it wasn't the typical bombastic Donald Trump. It was really an appearance that we haven't, a side of him that we haven't seen before. But then later that evening, you know, he talked about immigration and he focused and he made clear that he's not softening his approach on immigration. He still wishes to develop a special deportation task force and increase the number of ICE officers who are focused on deporting criminal illegal immigrants from the country. So when you put those two things together, it was almost as though there were two Donald Trumps that we saw yesterday. And I think that's where this criticism is emanating from.
Well, it would seem that the majority, I know America in its heart and spirit is having a hard time in, on one hand, being a rule of law and dealing with the tough aspects of enforcing, of law enforcement. And both President Nieto and Donald Trump agreed that borders are positive, that rules of law are a good thing. And so it's how do we execute it? And what makes this so complex is that the problem has been ignored to such a degree that we really don't know how many illegal immigrants we have here in this country. Is it 11 million? Is it 22 million? I mean, I've heard the number, you know, run the full gamut here. So I don't think they have quite a handle on this. But I think that, you know, is like, when are we going to attack this problem? Because we didn't attack it early. We're looking at 11 to 20 million people. We've got families. We have all these things that are heartbreaking for Americans who have a conscience, who have a sincere desire and appreciation, you know, for immigrants. and we want to have room. But I think that most Americans would agree is we don't want people that are going to come into this country and kill our citizens. And I think that what was presented last night with the mothers, the angel moms, the families that, suffered greatly as a result of illegal immigrants and our policies here, it was heartbreaking to watch that, Gabby.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think that, Donald Trump last night, he really showed that he's still passionate about the issue of immigration, the issue that's been at the center of his campaign from the very beginning, and that he's seriously looking at ways to not only deal with appropriately the immigrants who are already in the country illegally, but to prevent, prospective illegal immigrants from continuing to cross our borders and come into the U.S. The moment where he brought those mothers on stage, I think that was powerful. It's likely that he's going to be accused of using them as, political props by pundits on the left. But no, I think that was a powerful moment, and we'll continue to see whether he wants to meet with Mexican president again and if there are any future discussions about some of the policies that he put forward last night.
Well, we'll see if he gets into the Oval Office. I have a sense that there will be. I think this is the start of a future conversation, one that needs to be had, especially in light of NAFTA, a broad range of issues, and including, building a wall that I think, that I was glad to hear Donald Trump speak of in terms of it being a win-win proposition. I think that some of the narrative that needs to be brought out is that whether it's the wall or whatever policies, I think good behavior on both sides has to be incentivized. And it was clear, I believe, in the meetings that came out of, the meeting with Trump and President Nieto, is that both men care about their citizens. They care about the security. Okay, so now that we have that on the table, what are the principal elements that need to be considered in order to focus and come up with a policy that protects both sides of the border and incentivizes both countries?
Right. I mean, that's mainly what we heard both of them say yesterday. And I think the next step in this process, after listening to what Donald Trump outlined last night, is to begin to, press him on how he plans to not only get legislative or congressional support for some of these policies if he is elected president, but also how he plans to pay for them. I know that that's a big question that proponents of his immigration policy have even asked. I mean, how does he plan to cover the cost of tripling the number of Immigration and Customs Enforcement deportation offices across the U.S.? How does he plan to pay for this special deportation task force that he's talked about? How does he plan to get Mexico to pay for the wall? I mean, there are still a number of outstanding questions that he hasn't answered, and I think that it's the next step in determining what his immigration policy is and how effective he would be in implementing it.
And I don't know if we're going to be able to get to that in any kind of election process. Do we get that much detail from these candidates?
That's the goal.
I understand that, but at least we have somebody talking about the majors of the problem and bringing it forefront. I mean, obviously, as you say, point well taken, the Congress needs to get involved. I mean, this isn't an empirical presidency where he's got a phone and a pen. Fortunately, hopefully we can throw that into the Hudson or throw it into somewhere, get rid of it. But unfortunately, it looks like we're going to be dealing with phones and pens for years to come, because that's become the order of the day in our governance. Gabby Mrangiello with the Washington Examiner. Gabby, thank you so much.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Contour Next and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today.
Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Someone has to stand up and say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Keep fighting the good.
Who will fight on their knees. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good fight, good fight.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. John Horvat II is with us. He's a scholar, researcher, educator, international speaker, and author of Return to Order, From a Frenzied Economy to an Organic Christian Society. John, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Great. Great to be on the show.
Well, let's talk about the contention of the marketplace and the voter politic. It is just so confused and disheartened by what lies before them, two candidates that people just cannot get their brains around. We got serious problems here in this country where 7 out of 10 agree with it. We're on the wrong track. And when they look at the two candidates that are put before them, neither one of them are very well liked, so everything's a hashtag never these days, right?
Yeah, it's a hashtag never election, you know, because there is a disconnect between the candidates and you know what they're offering. It. I don't think there's ever been a disconnect greater between candidates in recent times, at least.
And part of that is that there's a clear distinction between the two at the same time. It's not like they're anywhere near homogenized like the previous election cycles that we've gone through, where you couldn't really tell much of a difference between a Republican and Democrat. Here, there's a clear demarcation between the two ideologies of the Democratic and Republican Party right now, as evidenced in these two candidates.
Right. Not only ideologically are they different, but, you know, even from the point of personality, you've got this just, you know, very sharp differences of personality. There's really nothing mediocre about this election when you come down to it. It is very, very sharp And, you know, it's very, it is very defined in a certain sense.
Well, I know the body politic is unhappy. Some are threatening not to vote. Some are threatening to vote for the other one outside of their party. They're running the whole gamut. But the fact of the matter is we got problems. We have serious problems, and we got to see what we can do as a voting body politic here if we're going to get this country back on track, don't you think?
Oh, yes, no, definitely, and I think that's part of the problem of the election and the whole way elections are now. You know, they are very shallow and almost tweetable, and you know, where they're not going into the very profound causes of things, and I think that's what has a lot of people uneasy. They're just simply repeating words, sound bites, all these photo ops, and just it pretty much reflects the electorate that want everything now, instantly, you know, regardless of the consequences. And, you know, they want an app that somehow will sort of resolve the problem, and it's a lot more complicated than that.
Well, you can't expect these candidates to go into full policy disclosure. I mean, they're only running for president. They're not running for all three branches of government, right?
Right. But, I mean, it's funny. I've heard a commentator say, you know, that one candidate's sort of stuck in the 50s and the other's in the 60s. And, you know, really not addressing some of the issues. They're talking as if we're stuck back in those times. You know, they talk about, for example, middle-class family values when the middle class has been decimated. And they'll talk about the communities, and these communities are just a ghost of what they were before. You know, a lot of things are happening that, you know, there seems not really to address.
Are they trying to talk, maybe trying to take on too many topics at the same time? I mean, here it is, the media, as you say, everything, you know, runs in 8-second sound bites. So they got to find that little piece of a sentence. And especially if they don't like you, they're going to frame you and define you. I mean, this has been the way of the mainstream media. They have a great system in defining, candidates before they actually run their first ad. And this has been no different in that regard. But I think sometimes these candidates try to, you know, chew off more than they can really, can handle, as opposed to, look at, I think there's three primary issues you can focus on in this election, and I would hammer the heck out of that and forget about what the media wants to, you know, what they want to try to dig up.
Right, I mean, it is a what can I offer you type election. It's what I call a cookie jar election. You know, just put your hand in the cookie jar and we'll give it to you. You know, whether it be prosperity, lower taxes, higher taxes, you know, whatever you want, somehow we're gonna deliver, and deliver right away. And you know, that is pretty much how the things have evolved now. Because I think not only because of the candidates, but also the electorate that expects that kind of service. You know, with instant service.
Well, the elites, no doubt, have. You know, they've created this entitlement class, and the way I'm looking at this, John, you can tell me if I'm wrong, is they need that entitlement class in order to get reelected. You know, the system, in a sense, as Bernie Sanders and as Donald Trump has suggested, is rather rigged. And, this is the paradigm that our electorate has been forced into, and I don't know that this election that we're going to be able to break the mold, so to speak, because it's so well defined. I mean, it's kind of like what Mitt Romney pointed to inartfully when he talked about that 47%. He probably needed more context because we're starting to understand what that 47% really represents.
Right. I mean, it is a reflection of America, that a society that's in shambles, and you know that we have all these problems that we're throwing money at, and you know, saying, well, this is going to resolve the problem, and you know, as you say, these bureaucrats and others that are saying, well, yes, let's throw money at it, because they're throwing money in my direction as well. So you know, they're not really looking to solve the problem, just perpetuate it.
Well, and they're taking on these big issues, as you say. We're going to fix the family. Oh, yeah, you're going to fix the how is that possible? How are you going to fix? How is government going to fix the family, John? Can you give me any kind of anything that they can do to fix the family?
Right. I mean, it is it is something that has to be fixed among the families. You know, they themselves have to fix the family. But, right. I mean, there are all these kind of crazy, you know, family forms that are going around. You know, we can have, you know, all sorts of different families when the, you know, the real issue is they are the nuclear family is a very, is the hard rock of our society. And, you know, trying to work, try find other forms of families, I think, is one way in which the government is messing it up big time.
Well, Newt Gingrich kind of referred to this a number of years ago and talked about the social engineering of elites and what they've done. It's been their policies that has decimated, you know, to your point, the middle class. It has decimated families. It has promoted, you know, people not getting married. Will reward you and will give you more money if you stay single.
Right.
You know, forget about the baby daddy, right? And
right.
Then you wonder why we're in such a mess.
Yeah, you look at all these, you know, shootings and all this, you know, the problems that we're having, and you find behind them broken families, shattered communities, and empty churches. And, you know, that is, you know, those basic institutions have just been decimated, and we're feeling the consequences of it. And those are issues that, you know, maybe should be mentioned and really aren't being mentioned this time.
Well, you're talking about, you know, the moral compass, you refer to it here, and I want to unwrap that more in terms of the effect that it's had to the point that people are saying, look, at 7 out of 10 of us say we're on the wrong track. And no doubt at the core of this, John, is the breakdown in the moral fiber and integrity of our country. And we're paying a big price for this, aren't we?
Definitely we're paying, you know, it affects everybody. Everybody's touched by it. And, you know, I think people are almost in denial, you know, say, no, it's just like it used to be. It always used to be. It's just, you know, we're trying to sort of recreate something that really doesn't exist anymore. And the candidates are pretty much doing the same.
John Horvath II is with us, a scholar, researcher, educator, international speaker, and author of Return to Order. And we've got more from John on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It started at bunco night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillows supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
This is going to be the best day of my life. My life. This is going to be the best day of my life. My life.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
14 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez coming at you. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go and you want to get involved in the conversation. Please know your opinion does count here. We need to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. We're talking with John Horvath II, scholar, researcher, educator, international speaker, author of Return to Order. John, I want to focus a little bit more on the moral compass of this country. It is seemed that we're paying the big price. We're told, even at an early age, that we will reap what we sow. And America is reaping that which I don't think it really realized it could ever be this bad.
Definitely. I mean, we are reaping what we sow. You know, everything does have consequences, and especially the family, which is so essential and irreplaceable from the point of view of just forming children and forming the future. And you know, every broken family ends up somehow, the government, you know, has to put in the lap of the government. Mm-hmm. We had families that were not broken and were healthy, we certainly wouldn't be in the situation we are today.
Well, you think about what this country has endured in the last 50 years and how far off the mark and how quick it's happened, John. It seems like it's been rather rapid, don't you think?
Oh, yes. I mean, in the 60s, we're largely responsible for that. I mean, I'm a boomer myself, and I know what it's, you know, I lived through them. But, you know, we've lost a generation in between then, and reconstructing is very, very hard because we've just lost all those customs and traditions and ways of being the families used to, how they used to exist. And, you know, we just have to reconstruct it, and it's not an easy thing.
Well, we were fortunate, you and I, John, we were raised by the greatest generation that taught us hard work, taught us that, again, reaping what you've sown in terms of letting your yes be yes, your no be no. A handshake is a handshake. Your word means something. Now everything is graded on the curve. It's all relevant. And as a result, we've lost our moral moorings. And it's like we're that like that hot air balloon that's been pierced, and without an anchoring, we're just, you know, just going all over the place. We're pell-mell and disconnected, and now all of a sudden, black is no longer white. White's no longer black. Yes, no longer means yes. We're really upside down here, aren't we?
Definitely, and it is that moral compass. It's something that cannot be stimulated or regulated or legislated into existence. It's something that has to come from those basic God-given institutions of family, faith, and community that normally keep a society and an economy in balance. And that's what we're missing.
John, does it have to get bad enough? So bad that we finally, you know, just surrender? I mean, are we like that person out there drowning, waiting for a lifeguard? We can see him over there, but he's not ready to get off the stand yet because we still have fight in us. And just like the lifeguard, they know if somebody's drowning, don't go out there and save them right away. You got to wait until they get the fight out of them. Does America still have too much fight in it to think that we can figure this out on our own?
Well, I mean, it's a fight, and the image I like to use is that of a cruise ship. We're in a cruise ship economy, a cruise ship, way of being. And as long as the bars are open, the theaters are going, and the restaurants are just bustling, everyone says, well, let's just enjoy it. Let's just keep the party going. But there's a storm on the horizon, and things don't look good. And that's where I think that we, when the storm does come, we will have to face very tough decisions, and those decisions will hopefully kick in and make some major changes.
Well, John, I think some of the people are saying maybe for some of us it might be okay. And the cruise ship is rolling, and we're still going to the banquet table. But there is this growing inequality, and that's the voices, I think, that we're starting to hear right now. Maybe they're not being represented in a way that we'd like to hear it. Maybe it's a little harsh, because like anything, when pain is being felt, you've got to almost look beyond the expression and see the pain itself to really understand what society is telling us right now. And I think we may be missing the point to what exactly is going on, and that is that for some it might be okay, but still for too many, as you mentioned, the middle class has been decimated, families are being decimated. Mm-hmm. Our president, this government says, oh, unemployment, we know how to fix that number. We're just going to, we're going to shorten up the pie here a little bit, and we'll still be able to hold it to now less than 4%. I mean, the number is so ridiculous. It's like, really? Do you guys really believe this? I mean, when you look upon the neighborhoods across America and you see how devastated they are, and how many people still are unemployed. And, and the other thing too, John, regarding, this unemployment, you can't just say people dropped out of the labor force. They still have to eat, last time I checked. And you need money in order to pay for food. So what's going on? They're working under the table, and we've created this almost black market underclass that's operating under the radar, not paying taxes. And, boy, that's going to be a whole nother issue on the other side of the horizon, is how do we repatriate them back into the fold?
Yeah, it is a good word, repatriation, because that's what it is. There's a lot of authors like Charles Murray and others, Robert Putnam, who've really pointed this out, that we have two classes. That there is this underclass that's pretty much bought into the idea, well, we can just do anything we want, the sexual revolution, all these kind of things, mm-hmm. drugs. And as a result, they have... they don't have that stability that they should have because they don't have the structures in place. And exactly. Those who didn't buy into it, or at least bought into it partially, those who are making it, they generally have a little bit more stability and have those structures in place that, keep them motivated and trying to look after themselves. So I don't look at it as an economic issue. I look at it as a moral issue, because that's where, exactly. Things are going to be decided.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. John, in light of what we've talked about and these candidates that we have to choose from, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, what should they be talking about?
Well, I definitely think they need to be talking about, these moral issues. What's being said now is we need practical and pragmatic people to get things done, to do all this, do that, but... When you ignore those moral issues and say, well, they really don't matter that much, what really matters is, how I can do this or I can do that, I think that That is not going to resolve the problem. We still have those moral issues. We still have the families that are broken. We still have, you know, a government that's free of any higher moral law. We have expectations of prosperity that are disconnected from a lot of the economic realities that are out there. They need to really go to the causes of things and not just address symptoms.
And to your point, John, you know, what I'm hearing more and more, some people are starting to say the American dream is dead. And I say, wow, if it's dead for you, what does that say for our kids and our grandkids?
Yeah, I mean, the American dream used to mean you can still, I think it still can happen, but it has to be based on what you can be. But now it's based on how you self-identify and what you can't be. And that's a big problem, you know. The American dream has been extended to a sort of irreal realm where, you know, you self-identify for what you are, what you aren't, and, you know, expect it to be reality.
I'll tell you, the thing that bothers me most is I look out and I see all this potential, the humanity that's here just in America alone, and the potential dreams, the visions, the things that keep people up at 3 o'clock in the morning that says shoulda, coulda, woulda. And, you know, and I just want to encourage people to dream again, dream big dreams. That's what we need, because at the end of the day, if I can use that tried but true saying, is that people want to have a sense that they're contributing and they're being productive, don't they?
Definitely, it's part of our human nature. You know, the idea of dreams is, I think it's a fascinating thing. There have even been people written about it. And, you know, it just, that's what is the engine of progress. You know, it's not so much the technical aspects. It's, you know, how you conceive society as it could be. And, you know, the minute you start conceptualizing, you're dreaming, and that those dreams can really yield a lot of results. And, you know, we need to keep the dream. I definitely am on that line.
Well, you think about it. I mean, here we've got a professional football player would choose to sit down rather than stand up and honor the flag. And I say, where else in America can you get paid $119 million to play football? And in this particular case, you know, dream big dreams and have an opportunity. It's still, even with the dysfunction and even where we are right now compared to other countries, this still is the land of opportunity, isn't it, John? And that's our hope.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just crazy what he's done. I mean, it's just a slap in the face of all Americans. And you say, well, you know, you are an example of what can be done. You are, you know, you've done it, and there are other people can do it too. But you're blaming something. You're blaming a system, an impersonal system, and you're not really addressing the causes.
Well, if anything positive has come out of that, is he's unified the country. At least the country is starting to realize maybe there's something they care for, even if it's just the flag. Why not? John Horvath II, scholar, international speaker, and author of Return to Order, has been our guest. John, thank you so much.
It's been great.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At Bill Martinez Live, we have a healthy body blood sugar pack focusing on structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
Attention CPAP users! Stop the insanity and torture of your CPAP mask. Don't you hate the skin irritation and terrible leaks? Jump on the CPAP Pro train, invented by an actual CPAP user that became so frustrated with CPAP masks. Are you ready to try something new? With absolutely no straps or headgear, go to nomask.com and get the best night's sleep ever. Free to Medicare patients. Go to nomask.com. That's nomask.com.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched?